Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Man, I don't know how to feel right now.
I feel great.
I don't know if great is the way I would describe the way I'm feeling right now.
See, we had a couple episodes of nothing. Of nothingness.
Yeah. And that was horrible.
And now we come to everything.
Yeah, like too much, I think.
All I have to say is thank God for bamboo gods and iron men.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe just the obvious question. Where were the bamboo gods and iron men? Was it a I'm guessing it was a metaphor.
I think it was bullshit. You know what I think it was? I think it's gobbledygook.
Like this movie?
Iron men. Because bamboo gods, no. No, there is no such thing in the movie.
Are you sure?
No.
Or was the Buddha made out of bamboo?
I highly doubt it.
I do too.
That was literally never said at all. So I call bull. I think that's just gobbledygook.
You think so?
I think that's just some bullshit some producer thought of.
Oh man, I don't even know like how to comprehend this movie. It is just, it is pure insanity.
I will say this, I guarantee you've never ever watched anything like this before in your life.
I guarantee it.
And neither have I.
I haven't.
I've seen a lot of movies, but man, I was, I thought I'd seen it all.
You thought the river had run dry.
Yes, but I thought the well had run dry.
But alas.
Well, I thought I felt everything I'm ever going to feel. In my life. But no. This movie showed me new ways of embarrassment and shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Emphasis on embarrassment.
Yeah.
I've never... It's been a long time since I've felt so much secondhand embarrassment at a movie.
Same. Like, most of these movies are embarrassing, don't get us wrong. But like... Man, like, this movie just, like...
It takes it.
It takes it to a whole nother level.
It takes the fucking cake and runs with it.
Like, this movie, incompetent, doesn't even begin to describe this movie.
Misguided, I'd say.
Yeah, it is probably the most misguided movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
We said this multiple times watching it, that this is quite possibly the single most misguided thing I've ever seen. Where just what the target audience was.
If you can tell me who the target audience was, I have no idea.
Like, who this was made for, what they were trying to get out of it, is beyond me.
The best way I can describe it is it's like a sitcom with, like, martial arts scenes.
No, it's like a really bad romantic comedy. Like, we've all seen those, like, you know... A couple goes on a vacation to some, like, exotic location, and shenanigans happen. We've all seen those awful, you know, rom-coms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, take that script and add in martial arts shenanigans.
Sorry, my computer's making a bunch of random sounds. Stupid computer.
Just add in random martial arts shenanigans into that shitty script. That is this movie.
Yeah, but martial arts shenanigans doesn't even begin to describe how... idiotic these scenes
are. And this is the best scenes.
I mean, it's hilarious to watch them because they're so bad that it's funny.
Should we get into the deets?
I guess let's get into the deets. I got so baffled at the end that I literally stopped taking notes.
You stopped taking notes like halfway through.
No,
you were just like...
I mean, I took a little bit more notes after that.
Because you were just like, what the fuck?
I had to try and catch up, but then...
You were just like, what the fuck? What is this?
Okay, so let's get into it. So we get a foggy scene of two guys digging up a grave.
Uh-huh.
A ancient grave.
And in the grave is a little, like, a sack.
A skeleton holding a sack. And according to the movie, the substance is supposed to be the most powerful thing on the earth.
Change the world.
It's supposed to change the world.
Now, in a way, that is true, but at the same time, we'll get to that.
Now we'll critique this movie, but I'm just preparing you. Just get prepared for the biggest slap in the face ending ever. Like, about 45 minutes from now, when we finally get to the end, just prepare yourself, okay?
So, it's this white dude watching, you know, these two Asian guys dig up this thing, and they hand him the sack with the thing in it. And
he stuffs it into his shirt.
And then he kills them.
Kills both of them.
And that's it for them. And then we get
the evil guy talking about the pouch.
And he reads out from a diary of some guy, like, in 1,000 years ago in China. And he's describing this substance, and it's like, whatever this is the most powerful thing in the world. And then he talks about how he's been killing everybody involved with getting it. And there's just one person left. And it's the guy who, at the beginning, kills the two diggers.
Yes. So he's the one that has the thing, and he tells the guy to go kill this person.
Because
he wants it, and he tells the guy to go kill the guy that stole it.
The guy that got it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's the last one. And then we get to these... our
protagonists.
Oh, boy.
So, we get
a guy,
Calvin Jefferson.
Yep.
He's a professional fighter, right?
He's on his honeymoon.
He's on his honeymoon with his wife, his newlywed wife. And they're in Hong Kong.
Yep.
So they're shopping around Hong Kong, taking in all the sights, and they go into a store.
But Will, the banter. The banter.
They talk like Alex said, it's like a rom-com where they're all like, every single sentence is like a joke they're trying to fire at you.
They're firing off at you, and it's just...
And none of them stick. None of them are funny.
None of it's funny.
It's all deadpan.
It's all just like...
terrible acting.
The guy wants to get laid, she wants to shop. That's all the humor in these like first scenes.
So she sees, like, a wooden Buddha, and is like, oh, how much for the wooden Buddha? And he's like, I'll make a special deal for you. Very good price. $50. And the guy's like, $50?
Shit!
And I'm just like...
okay.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I'm not paying more than $20. And he's like, okay.
Okay. And then, so they ring it up. He puts the Buddha into a box.
And then the guy's like, you expect me to carry this thing around?
He's like, no, I'll give you a special price to deliver it to your hotel. $2. And the guy gets pissed. He's like, what? $2? Let's do it. Like,
$2?
Yeah, he gets pissed over $2.
Well, see, Will, he didn't get pissed because of any logical reason.
No.
He got pissed because humor.
Yeah.
Which is how I can sum up 90% of these scenes, is because humor. Because someone thought this was funny.
Not the funny kind of humor.
No.
It's just, it's someone's version of humor. It's like, have you ever met those people where they tell you a joke and they think it's hilarious, but it's actually not that funny? Like,
or the kind of people who, like, they'll say something stupid to you, and then immediately they'll say, just kidding.
Yeah, just kidding.
Just playing.
It's like, it reminds me of those people who laugh at their own jokes.
Yeah.
But no one else laughs.
And everyone else is just kind of like, maybe awkwardly, like, huh.
Like, this, either the scriptwriter or the director thought they were fucking hilarious.
Someone thought they were hilarious.
Yeah, cause... someone making this movie thought they were the geniuses of comedy.
Oh, Will, the laughs never stop. Let me tell ya.
Oh, God. So they're eating dim sum.
Oh, yeah, and...
in a restaurant, and one of the... like, a guy comes over,
You're Calvin Jefferson,
a fighter. I saw your fight. Blah, 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 blah.
You're going to be world champion.
You're a champ. Hey, this is my wife. Hey, he's a champ. Hey, he's a champ. Champ, champ. Champ.
He talks like he's like 2 decades out of style.
Yeah. Like
he belongs in like Leave It to Beaver or some shit. It's so goofy.
Go get him, champ.
My favorite line of his, though, is like, my name's Mark. You can call me Mark. It's like, wow, dude.
Oh my god.
So then, like, immediately after this, though,
this is the weirdest transition.
So immediately after this,
a topless woman is running towards the screen,
and a man starts trying to rape her, and then another man runs over and pushes him off, tries to rape her, and then a third man runs in,
punches both of them.
No. There's
no.
So the third man runs in and pushes the second man off and tries to rape her. Then she like gets up, runs off screen, and then they run at her, and then like the guy gets punched by
something,
an invisible fist.
Yes,
I say that because you see nothing actually like in frame. He just, like, gets fucking thrown back like he just got smashed by the Hulk. And suddenly they're in a fight with a random man.
Yes. With a bag strapped over, like, the bag will become important.
And this is, like, it's not the worst fight scene I've seen.
It's pretty bad.
We've seen worse on this podcast, but this is, like, oh, it's amateur hour.
Oh, it is. Like, you can clearly see none of their, like, fists are connecting.
No.
Because they don't bother to change, like, the camera to where it looks like
they're hitting.
Their fists are connecting.
Yeah.
You know how most action scenes, like, because they pull their punches, of course.
Yeah.
But, like, in action scenes, they'll adjust the camera to where you can't see their fist connecting with the face. It just looks like you're being punched, and like, especially in old action movies. But like this, it doesn't even care. It just stands at one, like the camera is just one angle.
Well, not just that. The man fighting them is a master of punching and kicking people without looking at them.
Yes, he kicks behind him and punches behind
him. Because I swear half of his kicks and punches are like he's looking at one person and punching behind. And it's just glorious. It's gloriously stupid. But they fight, and eventually they get the upper hand on him, and they just
knock him out and throw him into a river. Off a bridge into a river.
And all I could think was, who, what, why?
So then we get Calvin and his wife on a boat, and they're coming up on this thing, and a bunch of people are looking into the water.
And it's the guy.
And so Calvin pulls him out.
Yeah.
And starts massaging his back.
Okay, so he
starts like pushing the water out.
He's like, yeah, he grabs him at like the lowest part of his back, and then like squeezes and like pushes his hands upward. Like
I have never seen this CPR technique.
Like he's literally pushing the water out of him.
Yes.
It's
from his back, because that's how that works.
I was like, at first I thought he was like going to do the CPR thing like on his back, but it was even dumber than
that. Well, like you even said during the movie, you're like, that's not how that works. That's not how that works.
But they one-upped it, because I was not expecting him to literally push the water out of him.
Yeah, because water starts coming out of his mouth when he's pushing on the guy's back. I was like,
it's glorious.
Are you serious? CPR, back CPR.
Glorious. And the guy hands him a piece of paper, and they're like, I don't read Chinese, blah, blah, blah.
So they go to a hotel.
No, they go, okay.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, yeah.
They get in a cab,
and the cab driver starts talking to him.
And the guy they saved gets in, and they're like, hey, can you tell this guy, like, what's going on? And he hands the cab driver the piece of paper, and on the piece of paper, it just says, I'm a mute.
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
So they tell him he can't come with and everything. and the mute guy gets confused, and they start driving away, but what does mute guy do?
He, out of his very handy, like, little sack, he pulls out a hook
and a rope.
And hooks it onto, like, the fucking...
a handle of the car.
Which, you know, it doesn't open, but whatever. He grapples it on and just runs with it.
Like, that's not a metaphor. He actually runs with the car.
And presumably he can run with the car all the way to the fucking hotel.
That's what he does.
That's what he does. Because they get to the hotel, they're talking, and again, fucking the banter is just...
it's ridiculous.
The same shit. Like, he wants to get laid, she wants to shop, blah, blah, blah. The guy shows up, and he talks, and they're talking, they're like, you can't be here. And eventually, like, the hotel clerk talks to him, and he's like, he says you saved his life, so his his life is now yours.
Yep, his life is now yours. Like, it's an ancient Chinese proverb.
So, basically, he is, like, their slave now.
Their indentured servant.
Yeah. Who can't talk or, yeah.
Yep. So they go up to the room and...
oh, they... God. They leave him there and they go up to the room, but they have to mention this because humor. They have to mention to the hotel attendant, oh, we don't want to be disturbed for the next...
2 hours.
2 hours. Hey, hey, hey. Ain't that funny?
Yep.
Get it? Because they're gonna fuck.
So then we cut to them getting on a boat.
Oh, Jesus.
And the guy's, like, sneaking on...
oh, earlier, when they were getting their wooden Buddha delivered, there's, like, this kid that's delivering the box.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. I forgot.
And the guy from the very beginning, who was at the dig site, shows up. For some reason, he's following them specifically.
I don't...
But what happens is... you see him grab the kid and, like, it presumes that he does something with their Buddha.
Right, but it doesn't show what
happens. We find out later. So, we see him, like, watching them get on the boat and all this stuff.
And the mute guy, like, follows them onto the boat and, like, gets into one of the shipping containers.
Yep. Then they're...
let me get it.
They're on their way to Manila.
Oh, my God. So, we get a scene where the henchman gets a phone call on the boat. No, he calls the boss on the boat to say that the boss is going to be getting a delivery of the wooden Buddha from Calvin.
Yeah, that I put the thing in. I put the Buddha, or I put the whatever you wanted into, like, this guy's...
into the Buddha, yeah.
So then he's in his office, that henchman.
Yes.
From the beginning.
He's in his office in the boat for some reason.
No, it's not on the boat.
Yeah, it is. Because remember, he...
it's not on the boat, though.
Are you sure? Because I thought it was...
I'm pretty sure. Because he watched them get on.
Oh, and then he calls afterwards?
Yeah. He calls from his office.
Okay.
Yeah, and tells him. But then the leader drops it on him and starts, like, telling him essentially that, like... well, okay, they're talking, and then he hears a knock on the door.
Yep.
And then he's like, someone's knocking at my door. And the guy's like, I know. It's your funeral arrangement. And the henchman's like, damn you. Damn you. You think of everything. Like,
and then he aims the gun at the door and shoots like 5 times.
Shoots like 5 times.
And
but
the guy just kicks down the door.
He just kicks it the fuck down.
And he's totally fine.
Of course he is.
He was right in front of the door the whole time.
He is so badass.
That he doesn't get any... bullet wounds.
Yeah, and the guy, like, drops the phone, and the leader, like, listens in on the whole, like, fight.
Yeah, about this terrible, like, death scene where the guy's, like, cracking his neck, but, like, not really, just craning his neck.
Well, first he just tosses him around.
Yeah.
And the guy breaks, like, every single wooden object in the room. And then he, like, breaks his neck, even though it...
he just tilts his neck to the left.
Yeah.
Like, very slowly, too. It's not like one of those... like, scenes where they, like, you know, they do the neck snap and the guy's head twists really fast.
He, like, grabs his throat and somehow that breaks his neck.
Yeah. So, we get a ridiculous scene of a shipping... the boat finally arrives and the shipping container... it, like, we just get a shipping container getting delivered onto a dock. and then we see 2 feet bust out of the
covered in like
hay.
It looks like hay. Yeah,
but it's like the shipping, the package materials.
Yeah,
and then the feet slowly retract into the box,
and then we see his head,
and the mute guy pokes his head up.
Yeah, and you know the couple go through customs,
and they meet up with Calvin's recruiter in Manila.
Yeah,
he's a former recruiter.
Yes,
that's letting them stay.
Well, he sent his like driver to pick them up.
Yeah, he's letting them stay in Manila.
The mute shows up, and the guy is just like, "Oh no, not again! It can't be."
Well, remember they're packing the Buddha into it, and one of the guys is like looking at the mute guy weird for packing the Buddha in.
Yeah,
like he wants the Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
So then they they drive off. So that
they drive off.
They drive off without the mute guy because. They won't let him
follow. And he just hitches a ride on, like, a random taxi.
Yeah.
Some shit.
So we get a Jeep following Calvin's car.
This is my favorite inconspicuous follower.
He's, like, pulled up against the steering wheel and, like, just, like, you can tell he's, like, trying to follow the car.
He is, like, his face is right on the fucking steering wheel and he's, like, grinning, like, angrily. And, of course, they fucking see it. But then, I don't know, apparently it's a teleporting van, because the car pulls off to the left, the van goes straight, and then in the next shot, the van is right in front of them. So they stop, they pull guns on him, and they open the trunk, and the mute just jumps in out of fucking nowhere.
Just beats the shit out of him.
Beats the shit out of them.
Quote unquote beats the shit out of him, because another god-awful fight scene.
Well, he beats the shit out of most of them backwards. He doesn't even look at them. He just punches behind, kicks behind.
Just all willy-nilly. It's great.
Anywhere he punches, they just happen to be there.
Yeah.
It's great. And, you know, he beats the crap out of them. They drive off. And the guy's like, oh, maybe you're good to us after all.
Yeah, you can get in.
Yeah.
So they go to the recruiter's house. And they start talking all this, like, fighting bullshit.
They're like,
more banter.
I bet you'd like to do some shopping instead of listening to us talk about boxing. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
And then more talking, more him trying to get his dick wet. Her talking about shopping. More fucking recruiters talking about goddamn fights.
And then the recruiter's talking about getting his dick wet. And it's just stupid.
Okay, I will admit, like, I don't remember any of the dialogue, but it doesn't fucking matter.
Well, look, Will, I'm not gonna lie to you, like, I felt embarrassed watching this.
Did you?
It's embarrassing. Because every line is supposed to be, like, sassy or witty. Like, and it just isn't. It's just... And don't even get me started.
What about the shower scene in the next scene?
Well, don't even get me started on the elevator music in the background. In every scene, just like... Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do
a scene of Calvin trying to get his dick wet.
The shower?
Yeah. She's, like, taking a shower, and he, like, sneaks into the bathroom.
No, not yet. It's a little later. So, they're just talking and talking, and the guy, the recruiter is like, you guys have my house for the next, like, 3 days, which is very convenient. And then we get a random scene of the bad guy and his, like...
Oh, yeah, his, like, his wife?
Assistant woman?
Assistant woman? Watching just a bunch of...
women awkwardly dancing.
Yeah.
And like, I do mean awkwardly.
And, like, trying to strip in front of them? I guess they're, like, picking new recruits. I have no idea what's going on. They never explain what he does.
It's so awkward.
They never explain his motivations.
They just slightly roll their shoulders.
And one of them takes off her blouse for some reason.
For some reason? You know why? Because they just needed to get tits in the movie.
I guess so.
That was it. They're like, okay, we've been like That was what the producer saying, like, hey, there's not enough tits. We need more. And they're like, okay. The bad guy's gonna be watching random women dance.
Well, it's like, yeah. If you don't like our comedy, you're sure as hell gonna like all the boobies we show in this movie. Like,
Is that how it works? It's plot, boobs, plot.
It's more like,
is this Game of Thrones?
Bad joke, trying to be witty. Action scene, boobs.
Well, the bad joke and trying to be witty, the magic is that is the same scenes.
Yeah.
It's totally...
And it takes up, like, most of the movie, unfortunately.
Oh, it's...
Too much of the movie.
Misguided.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then we get... The wife is in the shower, and we hear, like... Okay, I don't know what it is with the sound effects in this movie, but they're all wrong.
So when he knocks on the door, it's like... But it's like...
No, when people in this movie knock on doors...
It's like 20 people knocking on a door.
It sounds like there's a fucking, like, mob outside your door.
Yeah, they're all banging on the door, but it's, like, supposed to be one person.
Yeah, and he's knocking on the door, and he's just, like, you know, trying to get his dick wet.
And he's like, hey, you better come out here with, like, no clothes on or something like that.
And then he gets in the shower, the bathroom with her, and...
They joke again.
They joke, and they fucking get in the shower together, and then she leaves or something. And then, oh, God, they're talking, and they look at the fucking statue they bought, and she's, like, rubbing it.
And he's, like, getting jealous. He's, like, getting fake jealous that
it's
she's...
It's a joke, Will.
And then she's like, what? You don't want to do an orgy? And he was like, you're going to need more women here. And she gets, like, fake jealous. And it's just... It's goddamn stupid.
And then he gets in bed and takes, like, 5 hours taking his boxers off and, like, fucking pulling the covers up to, like, the perfect...
He, like, pets the bed.
To get in. And then she gets in, but she doesn't get in on the side that he pats.
No.
Plot hole.
Because he magically moves over.
He moves over, and then they fucking cover themselves completely up, and then they make...
They get...
And then...
Then we get the worst assassination attempt I've ever seen.
Not yet. There's more comedy. Because...
Oh, yeah, the mute guy, he's sleeping outside their door.
And then he hears them, like, dirty talk. And he starts, like, giggling. Well, I wanted to die.
I'm walking away. Ah! It's like a 6-minute scene and it didn't end.
I was dead inside after this scene. Because I was just like, please stop.
But hey, they kind of redeem it with the worst assassination attempt I've ever seen.
All else fails, Will, do bees. Do bees.
Bees? Question mark?
Bees, question mark.
So we get a guy, like, literally sneaking up to their window, and a beekeeper's out.
Let's,
like,
let's set this up. Because I was immediately, like, asking... He's just at their window, and I'm like, why the fuck is he dressed like a beekeeper?
He has, like, the beekeeper hat on, and, like, a long sleeve,
okay,
like,
no,
denim jacket.
He has the beekeeper, like... It's like that like net they put over their head.
Yeah, the netting.
But the hat is like a safari hat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why the fuck is he dressed like a beekeeper?
But he has like a long sleeve. He has gloves, a long sleeve Levi jacket, and like long pants.
But I was just like, why is he dressed like a beekeeper?
And then he picks up a box.
Opens it up
and releases bees into the room.
And I was just like... Oh my God!
And they still haven't gotten to having sex yet.
No, they finished.
Oh yeah, because
it's nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just finishing and like still dirty talking, and then the guy gets stung. He's like, "Ow, what's that?" And then she's like, "Ow, ow, it's
bees!"
And they start running out of the room. Ugh!
And after they run out, the guy who released the bees goes in there and grabs the Buddha.
But while he's grabbing the Buddha, the mute guy sees a flashlight in their room. So the beekeeper comes out of the room and the mute guy is there to meet him.
And they fight.
But then the mute guy gets stung by bees.
And then the guy escapes.
Huh.
As I said, when all else fails, bees.
Did we mention this movie's ridiculous?
Oh, really? Yeah, this movie's very serious. It's entirely serious.
So then we get a scene...
The next scene is especially serious when they bring the Buddha back to the bad guy.
And the bad guy's like, okay, break it open. And he has his henchman.
The guy...
karate chop.
Splits it. And then he's like, more. Splits it again. The guy's more. Like, it's gotta be there.
And then the guy just keeps chopping and chopping away until it's like little pieces of the Buddha.
I swear to God, I was waiting for it to just be like dust.
Oh.
Like.
Dust. Interesting use of that word.
Powder? Question mark? Yeah. I was expecting that because this movie's a fucking joke. But no. I mean, he still smashes it into like a million goddamn pieces.
Yep. So then he sends the one guy and he's like, okay, so you're going to go after him and see if he knows anything about the Buddha. Like, go. Because he has the Buddha and he moved the bag.
So, well, hold on. So we get a scene.
Oh, yeah, that's where
boxing.
He trains the mute guy.
Well, first they box.
Yeah, so we get a scene of Calvin trying to teach the mute guy how to box.
And he beats him up.
And then it turns into the mute guy teaching the Calvin how to do crappy martial arts.
He teaches him how to do finger gestures.
And punch really weird for martial arts. They don't do anything normal.
I don't know how to explain this. It's like they hold one arm like straight out.
But like bend it slightly.
But bend it like down, and then their other arm is like, it's like a flex.
Yeah, but like.
Like, have you ever seen like a bodybuilding show and like that bicep flex they do? Like, that's what they do.
It's martial arts. It's martial arts by people who don't know how to do martial arts.
Here's what's funny, though. In the opening credits, they list a karate instructor and a aikido instructor.
Which is weird.
Which is fucking hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious because they don't use real martial arts. It doesn't even look like they're trying.
This is the most real, Will.
Apparently.
So then the bad guy is confronting his, like, assassin guy. The guy who murdered the henchman earlier.
Oh, yeah, and he's, like, threatening
But the funny
him.
Thing is, the scene literally opens with a gun pointing at the assassin and him saying, I didn't.
Oh, we forgot the detective. Clouseau, fucking stupid fat guy, coming in and asking a bunch of questions and saying, like, oh, it's strange how they would be after a Buddha.
He's like, let me just say something. And I'm not saying this is real, but what if the Buddha statue isn't actually a Buddha statue?
Well, and then they spend, like, 5 minutes jerking each other off just by, like, oh, it's strange. Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't strange. But it is strange. Yeah, it is, but I didn't say it wasn't strange. Yeah, but, you know, it's strange, but I think it's strange. It's strange.
Will.
I'm not saying it's not strange, but it's strange. It's strange, it's strange. It's strange. Oh my God!
But Will, you don't understand. You know what this is?
It's strange.
It's comedy.
It's not.
It is.
It sucks.
It's fucking. It's a knee slapper, Will.
No.
It's.
They just fucking go to blows. Just fucking. Oh, strange, 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 strange.
No, Will.
Oh
this
my
is,
God.
You know, movies have those like. Movies have the dumb cop character, right? And, well, in this movie, they decided to take that to a fucking, like, an absolutely...
A monumental level?
Insane level.
Because he's fucking dumb as a bag of bricks.
And again, none
all
of
all he does is, like, repeat what other people say.
And it's all, like, again, pretend witty banter.
Well, like, the boxer guy will say something is weird, and then the detective will be like, yeah, that is weird.
That is weird, huh?
But I didn't say it wasn't weird. Like, oh, I hate this detective.
Yeah.
He's like the most annoying character in the whole show. And they're all fucking annoying.
It's stunning. It's truly stunning.
Him and the mute guy, I swear.
Oh, there's also worth mentioning, the mute guy, like, always makes, like,
weird faces for no reason.
Well, I know why.
Because funny. It's funny.
It's hilarious.
Get it? He's a mute Chinaman. He makes
weird
faces. Knee slapper.
Oh my god, you genius.
But that's strange. So okay, ooh. now we get the Russian roulette scene.
I didn't.
And then he cocks the gun and fires a just pulls the trigger but nothing comes out. He's like,
I didn't.
And then the evil guy keeps recocking the gun.
Well, if not you, then who? And he's like, I think it was the black man and his wife.
Yeah, they know something about the Buddha. And so
he's like, okay, I want you to
I want you to go after Calvin.
But make it subtle or quiet or whatever. So here's what he does.
Calvin's running with the mute guy. They're running and training.
In a hilarious scene where they're both running and the mute guy keeps making silly faces.
Yeah, just making stupid faces while they're running.
Assassin joins in on the running and he makes eye contact with Calvin and they have a race.
They just, hey, and then they just race. And the mute guy's just on the beach, struggling. Training.
He's doing punches and kicks.
He starts doing
backflips,
fake martial arts again.
While, imagine this, okay? You have the assassin and Calvin are running in place, and they're having a conversation. Like, oh, you're a boxer? Well, I'm a writer. Can I write about you?
I want to do a story on you.
While these two are talking and running in place, in the back is the mute Chinaman. Doing backflips and all sorts of nonsense.
It's one of those cheap commercials where there's something funny in the background while two people are talking about it's just dumb.
It's like a Geico ad or some shit. Like two people are talking about car insurance and in the back is someone doing karate.
It reminds me of that commercial where the baby's doing stupid shit in the back, backflipping and doing a handstand and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're talking about car insurance.
It's even funny because
it's just stupid. It's not funny.
It's even weirder because the whole scene has no music. It is just the sounds of their fucking legs doing the fake running.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
It is fucking weird.
And they're talking and talking, and eventually...
So the guy's like, oh, let's go to a massage parlor so we can talk... Let me talk more about this over a massage.
So they go to a massage parlor, and the detective and his,
Oh, my God.
His deputy or whoever are watching.
It says King Massage. It looks like a massage parlor. And then he gives the binoculars to the detective, and the detective's like, oh, it says King's Massage. It must be a massage parlor. Yeah, right here. Why didn't you tell me that before? I hate it!
But don't forget, the detective is also
stupid!
But what if it's not really
what
a massage
parlor? What if it's not a massage parlor? Fuck!
Which, I guess is right.
So they go into this massage parlor, and there's just a bunch of topless women walking around.
Well, of course! Because the movie had to fill the boobie quota.
You have in the 70s. You have a certain tit quota. You have to fill,
especially in a B movie.
Yes,
you have to fill the booby quota
because if you have nothing else, at least you can pertain to men who like boobs.
So there's very strategic camera placements here,
where you get full views.
Where when the two guys are talking, they're the rooms are apart, they're across from each other, but every time they show one of them, there is very conveniently a pair of boobs just right in front. Right in front.
And then we get a hilarious scene of mute guy getting a massage from the big bad's
assistant lady,
and she's trying to seduce him.
Yeah. And the guy is just refusing to let go of his
back.
He's
being all awkward and
awkward!
And backing away from her and doesn't know what to do. And
And the whole thing is she's trying to get his bag.
Right, because she wants to know what's inside. Because they think that he might have whatever was on the Buddha.
And then
the
assassin is getting serious with Calvin and starts telling him that he knows what's going on and what's your price, blah, blah, blah. And then they just start fighting.
Yeah, he starts trying to fight Kelvin, and Kelvin fights back.
Like, literally, and his punches are so strong, they just punch his fucking holes through the walls.
And the woman, like, finally tries to get the upper hand on the mute guy, and, like, reaches for his bag, but he grabs it and, like, pushes her, but, like, she, like, punches the wall. Or, no, she holds a gun up against him.
Yeah.
And, like, leads him out into the hallway where Kelvin and the other guy are fighting.
Yeah. And they holds them all at gunpoint. I don't remember how they escape at first.
Well, because remember the guy, like, looks in the mute guy's
bag. And he sees that it's not in there. The thing they're looking for is not in the bag. So it must be, like, at home.
So the guy grabs the nunchucks and starts beating the mute guy. The mute guy gets the upper hand.
And then
the assistant woman gets distracted by them fighting, so Kelvin can knock the gun out of her hand.
And then
the mute guy goes on the table, grabs all his stuff, puts it back in the bag as quickly as I've ever seen.
Well, don't forget, he grabs a very important thing.
A smoke ball.
He has little, like, smoke bombs in his bag. They might be the quietest
bombs. I love the sound effects.
It might be the quietest bomb I've ever heard in my life.
Seriously, if you could hear it.
That's... And the funny thing is, like, it's that sound effect, but, like, a giant, like, flame.
Yeah, flame and smoke everywhere.
So, they do that, and then, like, the bad guys run away, and then the detective shows up and is like, freeze! And then he throws another smoke bomb and just runs away. And they run down, like, a busy street in their fucking... In just, towels.
And in comedic fashion, the mute loses his towel! And you see his ass, and they're running down the street.
Oh my god,
Har, har, har!
It's man ass!
God, the comedy is so forced in this movie. I hate it.
Yeah, it's like, he loses his towel, you see his ass, and he runs into a woman, and she drops her bag!
Oh!
It's dumb. It's just... Oh, God. They just don't stop.
No, they don't, because it keeps going.
So, they call the detective. He shows up. He tries to arrest them.
Yeah, for public indecency, disturbing the peace.
And then they're like...
All these ridiculous accusations. They're
like, you idiot, that's not why we called you. He's like, well, why did you call me? Because we want to, like... tell you about, like, these guys who
they're looking for, like, the Buddha or whatever.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. And then just leaves.
He's like, okay, well, I'm gonna drop the charges on you, and then we're gonna follow
I'll investigate
you.
The Buddha.
So then the woman is like, oh, I'm gonna go out shopping.
Because she's annoyed.
Right.
Because Kelvin has just been practicing karate with his friend.
Well, we also get a scene of the bad guy, like, plotting more and saying that he's gonna go after Kelvin's wife as leverage.
Because basically, like, they failed their first attempt.
Yeah.
And now he just wants
them
to...
They're gonna kidnap the wife so that they can get Kelvin to the henchman's headquarters.
And get Kelvin to give them the shit.
Yes. That Kelvin doesn't know about.
Yes.
By the way, Kelvin never knows about it.
So, yeah, he for real doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, the woman is, like, upset because he's training with his buddy. And she's like, I'm gonna go shopping. And Kelvin's like, okay. And she's like, you're gonna let me go shopping? Like, blah, blah, blah. Gets all pissed off. And
she's like, what if I get kidnapped? He's like, well, you punch him with your purse.
So she gets pissed and leaves. And he's like, wait, where are you going?
And the detective tells his buddy, his assistant, is a cop, whoever the fuck, to follow her. And he follows her, she goes shopping, she goes into a store, and in absolutely unpredictable fashion, the fucking bad guy's henchwoman kidnaps her.
We also get failed attempt at comedy here because the detective's, like, henchman, the detective's little buddy, like, assistant, like, keeps seeing this older woman that keeps looking at him, and then he, like, notices the wife is missing and, like, pulls back one of the dressing room curtains.
And it's the woman.
And it's the older woman.
And she's like, how dare
you? And he's all embarrassed and has to leave.
Oh my god!
Har, har, har!
kill me.
Oh my god, the comedy in this movie is dumb.
So they kidnap her.
But just wait, it gets so much worse.
You mean better?
Worse.
Better?
Worse.
No, because we get the greatest final showdown ever.
Oh my god. So Calvin agrees and goes to the bad guy's headquarters.
Well, first, Calvin is leaving, and he's like telling his mute buddy not to go. And he punches him.
Because the bad guy said to come alone, yeah, or else he's going to kill the wife.
And he punches him, and the mute guy falls and like hits his head against the box that the Buddha statue was in.
Yep, and a little pouch drops out the bottom.
So that's, and then he finds out that that's the stuff.
Yep, so he grabs it, gets in the detective's car, and follows Calvin to the headquarters.
The detective handcuffs him and is like, I can't trust you. And
then leaves. This is after they get to the headquarters, yeah, by the way. So the detective and the mute guy pull off to the side into the grass.
Yeah.
And then Calvin goes off into the bad guy's headquarters.
Yep.
And then this is where the detective handcuffs the mute to the car.
And leaves. And the mute guy has a little, like, lockpick in his
convenient bag.
Convenient.
He has everything in his
bag. It's wonderful. And he frees himself. And then it goes back to Calvin is at the headquarters of the bad guy, and the bad guy is, you know, they're beating him up. They beat him up. He slaps his wife.
Calvin tries to, like, beat up the other two guys, but they have the upper hand. And then, finally, the mute guy, the detective comes in, and he gets the shit beat out of him.
The mute guy comes in, and they see that he has the pouch.
Yes.
So they take the pouch, and they have, like, some big dude watch them as they all leave.
But then, the mute guy... So, we get a scene of the mute guy getting knocked down, and the big guy... He's like, ha ha! And then he's like, stops laughing, and like, a dart appears in his mouth. Like, he pushes the dart with his tongue into frame. And then we get, and then it cuts to the mute guy, like with the blow dart.
He has a blow dart, yeah.
And then, and make the sound. But like, it's funny because the dart's already in the dude's mouth.
It
and
is.
And then they show the guy, yeah, like, it's like the dart's already there. What do you do?
It's like, did you forget
you
when you were
supposed
to? You
should have done it the other way.
It's like, did you forget when you were supposed to do the sound effect? Did you fuck that up?
Apparently.
Okay.
So then they get the upper hand on the two other guys, and they all start running away. The henchmen, the bad guys, like, helicopter lands, but apparently it's like 50 feet away from the fucking, like, headquarters.
No, it's like 50 fucking miles.
Yeah, because they're running forever.
Yeah, and eventually, the bad guys come to a strategic dirt mound.
Yes.
Because they all take cover under this, like, fucking mound of sand in the middle of nowhere while Calvin and his mute buddy take cover.
In some trees.
And then the wife bites the bad guy's, like, arm.
The bad guy runs away with the pouch. And then we get the wife versus the assistant lady.
We get Calvin versus the assassin.
And the mute guy versus the...
other assistant.
The henchman. Like the
Asian
other, the other martial arts assistant.
Yeah. So we get like three fights simultaneously. And they're all hilarious.
In separate ways.
Because the women just wrestle.
Yeah. And it's of course a bunch of upskirts.
Shocking.
And they like, you know, they'll tousle each other's hair. And like...
shocking.
Roll on each other and like... you know, wrestle each other down, but they never actually hit each other.
They never hit each other.
It's hilarious.
And then, the Calvin and the assassin are fighting. The assassin pulls out, like, two knives.
Well, he pulls out a knife, and then it somehow becomes two knives.
He's a magician.
I don't know how he does it.
He's a magician. He summoned a second knife.
So they fight. It's not worth explaining. It's a fucking awful fight scene.
It's...
Calvin, like, vaults into action. Like,
it's okay.
I love when he, like, jumps.
Oh,
and
God.
And it shows him just, like, landing on the ground. He doesn't, like, punch or anything. He just,
nah,
like, jumps and lands.
Well, it looks like he jumps, like, 50 fucking feet.
Yeah,
it's
and
funny.
He just lands normally.
It's okay.
Then the martial arts guy, like...
the martial arts guy is fighting the other martial arts guy, and...
they get knocked into water. He has a breathing tube.
And he tricks him with it.
Yep. And then...
I guess drowns the guy, even though, like, he, like, wraps his legs around him and, like, fucking chokes him down into the water, and then he, like, disappears.
And then he, like, looks for him and then just leaves the frame.
But they never show him again, so I'm guessing he's dead?
Maybe.
Maybe? I don't know. So that happens, and then eventually,
Calvin does kill the other guy, too, by choking him.
Yeah, he chokes him, and
the lady assistant gets away from Calvin's wife.
The good guys all meet up, and the...
Oh, my God. And then we get the other henchman, the fucking beekeeper guy.
Oh, God. The detective catches up.
Yeah, and starts, like,
and he has a rifle now. And he shoots at the main bad guy, and there is a insanely sped up shot
of the bad guy getting on the ground.
It's like they couldn't, like, it's like they weren't satisfied with how slow the bad guy, like, dropped to the ground, so they sped it up, and it just looks comical.
It's so obvious.
And they shoot at each other, and eventually
the beekeeper guy gets up and then starts to run across, but then
he fucking charges at the detective like it's a goddamn World War I movie.
And the detective just shoots him.
It's like, what did you expect? You just charged at him? Okay.
Like, this is my oh, shit.
He's like, oh, shit, I'm gonna do it! And then he just shoots him.
The bad guy gets to the helicopter.
He gets in the helicopter, and then the assistant woman runs over, and she's like, hey, hey! Then he, like, opens the door, and there's, they fight.
I love the no dialogue again.
She's like,
you know how much I love these no dialogue scenes.
She's like yelling. We know she's yelling because you see her mouth moving like there's crazy.
There's no sound.
But apparently she grabs the sack.
And he kicks her out.
And he doesn't notice.
Knocks her the fuck out.
But what's funny is he knocks her the fuck out by, like, what, kicking her once?
Yeah.
And she's just laying on the ground with the sack in full view, and so they take off.
And the good guys come over.
And then he notices, probably like, oh shit, I don't have the sack.
And then he just, like, starts coming down while all these, like, policemen show up. And he just, like, starts coming down.
He slowly gets down.
I love the scene, because, like, you can just tell the guy in the helicopter's like, oh shit, I forgot the pouch.
Like, ew. The logic here is just foolproof.
It's like any normal bad guy, you would just think you'd be like, okay, I can just plot to get the bag back again afterwards, but I don't want to get caught right now. He's surrounded. Yeah, but he decides to land again to get the bag. Like, why?
But he doesn't even get it. They just kick it away, and they're like, you're under arrest.
Oh, God. And then the biggest joke of them all.
So the guy is like, what the hell is in this thing? And he's like, well, it's written that it can change the world, or you can control the world with it.
So the guy sniffs it.
Well, no, first he pours some out, and it's just powder. He sniffs it, licks it, he's not sure what the hell it is. He puts all of it on the ground, lights it on fire, it explodes. And the guy's like, ha ha ha, it's gunpowder. And everyone's face is, like, covered in...
So it's like one of those cartoons where there's a big explosion. And they're all like that, like, ash face, like...
If you've ever seen, like, Looney Tunes...
Yeah.
They'll always do that joke with, like, Wile E. Coyote where
their,
like,
hair's all blown up.
Where, and, like, someone is, like, they, like, light a bomb on fire. Or the classic one is, like, they'll do that joke where they light a cannon on fire, and they're just standing there, like, laughing, and then instead of firing, it just, like, blows up in their face.
Right, and they're all, like, covered in, like, gunpowder and ash, and then their hair is, like, sticking straight
That's
out.
What everyone looks
That's
like.
That's what everyone looks like.
And everyone just starts laughing, including the bad guy.
Yeah, as he's, like, getting handcuffed.
It's beyond insanity.
And then, like, he's like, ha-ha, it's gunpowder. And then it zooms over to the mute guy, and he starts, ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And then he's like, and then I guess in Chinese, he says, I got my voice back or something.
And then the
I'm
end.
Not sure. I don't know what he says, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's in Chinese, so I don't know.
But he's, yeah, he just gets his voice back in the end.
Now, to be fair, the gunpowder thing does sort of make sense.
Because back then they would have thought it changed
the world. Because gunpowder was invented in China.
And it did change the world.
So, it's kind of clever, but at the same time...
it's executed poorly.
Again, it
would have made sense if it was a better director.
Well, here's the thing. It makes more sense if this was a comedy. Yeah. Or I guess if it was a good comedy. I don't know.
I think they were trying to be a comedy, because to be honest.
If we're going to be completely honest, that joke almost would work in a comedy, especially since, like, they literally build that joke up for the whole fucking movie. Because, again, up until this point, no one bothered looking
in the patch
at what the fuck is in there.
Well, I think if it was better executed, it could have been funny. But it just falls flat. It just, like, it's the wrong... It would have been really well executed.
That and ending it like a sitcom.
Yeah.
It literally ends like a sitcom.
Yeah, because they're all laughing.
Including the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's like... It's a comedy ending. You know, the bad guy laughs, everyone laughs, and the end. It's a comedy.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think they were going for, but, like, and these are going to be my final thoughts.
Mm.
That's what I think they were going for. It was trying to be a comedic action movie, but, like, the problem is they fell short on every joke. Like, it wasn't funny, it wasn't well executed, it wasn't, like... it wasn't properly displayed as a comedy.
This is trying to be so many things.
It's trying to be too many things, and they should have just stuck with one genre. Yeah, if you want to be an action comedy, fine, be that. But, like, be funny if you're going to do that. Comedy is hard. Like,
it's... Oh, really? Well, from this movie, I would not know that comedy is hard.
But, like, you can't just have, like, people, like, bantering and call it funny. Like, you actually have to set up your jokes.
It's an awful script.
You have to set up your jokes.
It's an awful script.
I'm sorry, if you're going to write a comedy, like, make the jokes funny and set up your goddamn punchlines.
It's an awful script.
They just, it's so poorly executed. It's funny how poorly executed it is. It's not funny because it's a comedy and it's hilarious. It's funny how poorly executed and incompetent this movie is. Those are my final thoughts. What are your final thoughts?
This thing is like... So there's three big, like, genres going here. So it's a kung fu movie, a blaxploitation movie, and a comedy. And neither one of those work.
No.
And, like, here's my thing, is as much as this movie hurt me deeply... hurt me, and as much as, like, this thing is, there's so much secondhand embarrassment from this thing, it's unfucking real. Despite all that, I have to recommend this thing, because, again, this, have you ever seen anything like this?
No.
Like, we mentioned in the beginning, but this is one of the most misguided fucking movies ever. Who the fuck is the target audience for this thing?
I have no idea.
Okay, if you're an action fan, fuck no.
You're not gonna get action.
If you're a blaxploitation fan,
hell no.
Hell no. A rom-com fan? Are you fucking kidding me? Even if you have the lowest standards for any of those genres... this fucking sucks.
It fails on every front. But I think...
If it was just one of those, if it was just a bad blaxploitation movie or just a bad kung fu movie, like, it would be boring. But the fact that it's all of these things in one, I think is what makes it so goddamn weird and why I have to, like, recommend this thing.
Okay, I can see your point.
And, like, and even that, like, but every little thing about it is wrong. Like, the music.
Yeah.
The fucking elevator music. Or the audio. Like, there's...
Or the sound effects they use?
There's scenes where, like, you can't hear the dialogue, but the sound effects are, like, cranked the fuck up.
Well, there's also scenes where the sound effects are, like, some will be low tone, and then some will be, like, loud as fuck.
Or, like...
And then others will, like, be the wrong timing.
Like, they'll be punching each other, and, like, it's a punch because you know the other guy, like, reacts, but there's no sound effect. And then the next time they do it, there is a sound effect.
But it's loud as hell.
Like...
It's weird. But, okay. So.
There's a whole, like... There's also, like... Like, in that scene where they're boxing, in the beginning of that scene, you hear, like, random crowd noises.
Yeah.
When there is nobody in there.
I know.
But then as soon as they come in the scene, it's just silent.
It's weird how, like, they use music at the wrong time, but then they... Don't use music when they need it.
The music is in... It is so stock.
Yeah.
It literally sounds like elevator music.
Well, that's probably because that's the only music they could get their hands on.
Like, they...
Without infringing on copyrights.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
The whole thing is wrong.
I would only recommend this movie if you're going to watch it with friends and if you have, like, drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you watch it alone and don't have anything... Any libations to, like, sip on, I would not recommend this movie. But if you have a lot of friends and you love shitty movies, definitely watch this movie.
You have to see it just because...
It's ridiculous.
You have to, like... It's just wrong.
Yeah, on so many levels.
Like, you if you think you've seen movies that are just misguided, and you just watch them and you're like, who the hell, like, made this?
Yeah.
Like, why would you fund... As a producer, why the fuck would you fund this thing?
Yeah.
Like, who would see this? If you thought that, trust me.
You ain't seen nothing.
You haven't seen shit until you've seen this.
Yeah. If you want to watch it the way we watched it, actually, it's a pretty good film version. Surprisingly, they cleaned up the video.
We actually rented this.
On Amazon.
I don't know of any other way to, like... see this thing at all.
I don't think it's on YouTube or anything, so...
No, what's funny is I watched a little bit of a trailer a couple days ago, and the quality of the trailer was so terrible that I was, like, worried. I was like, oh, God, I hope the movie is, like... But it's actually cleaned up, which is shocking.
Someone, like, kind of restored it, actually.
Which is fucking shocking. Because this thing is beyond obscure for good... maybe good reason? I don't know.
Let's just hope this isn't like a Devil and Leroy Bassett situation where I pay $5 to rent a movie and then literally like a month later it becomes free on Amazon Prime.
Oh, that would be great because then I'll fucking... Because then everyone has to see it.
But then we'll also know that Amazon's like, yeah, this poor fucker rented this movie.
It means someone's watching.
Let's make it free so people can watch it.
Someone's like aware and like, okay.
And if that actually happens, you're welcome.
You're all welcome.
I'm providing a service for us.
Because you can all watch Bamboo Gods and Iron Man.
Okay.
What a title.
What a great title. Nothing to do with the movie, but it's great.
You have anything else to add to this fucking insanity?
Get lots of drinks. Get lots of friends. Prepare to spend $5. Have a good time. That's my final thoughts.
95 minutes of...
Pure insanity.
Of wrong.
Yeah, just wrong. Just the wrong way to do any kind of movie.
100% wrong.
It's great.
Something about those... Okay, this is like the fourth movie we've watched filmed in the Philippines.
Thank fucking God it wasn't as boring as the past few movies we've watched.
No, this is much more entertaining.
Oh my God, I'm so happy. That's the saving grace here. Like, at least it's not fucking House of Seven Corpses. Thank fucking Christ it's not House of Seven Corpses.
Well, also, thank Christ that unlike the last two movies, this does make sense in its own stupid way.
It explains everything.
It explains things.
And people actually, like, you know, how people die.
Yeah. There's not, like... scenes that happen without any explanation before or after, which I know these are very, very low standards for movies,
but we kind of have to have low standards if we're going to watch these movies.
But
okay?
we've been we've been wronged.
We set the bar fucking low. Very low. So we almost have no standards when we watch these movies, and that's the way these reviews should go. We can't have any standards if we're even going to get an ounce of enjoyment out of these movies.
You're goddamn right.
But anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in. Man, what a ride it's been so far. I'm enjoying the hell out of this podcast.
Yeah.
We're at 3,000 downloads, 11 followers, on Podbean at least.
We got even more on YouTube. We're going.
It's great. I love it, and I hope you guys know that we're going to continue. I'm sorry the schedule's been so fucked lately, but we're really trying to get it back on a level.
Regardless, we are still recording.
We're still going to be here. I'm not planning on quitting anytime soon. Nah. So I don't think either of us are.
There's always bad movies.
Exactly. We got a lot more years to go, so I'm excited. Thank you guys again so much for the They Mostly Come Out at Night. This has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Bye.
Hee-haw. Yeah. Ah, it's gunpowder.